to your feet. This is the Lord's Prayer.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Just this day our daily bread, forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come.
What do you think, guys? Have you heard that song? Have you heard that song? I'm just going to stop for a second. You heard that song before? Okay, so you know this. Some of you know, some of you don't. All right, I just want to remind you of some truths and point your eyes. I just interrupted the whole flow of the song. We're going to start over. So just, Shannon, you know that. We're going to start over. But I want to read to you Psalm chapter 8. Get your mind thinking about what we need to be thinking about, what God wants us to think about. Here is Psalm chapter 8, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Let's sing that song again.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come.
Father, let your kingdom come.
Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven,
let it be done
right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. It's yours. It's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. Forever and ever, the kingdom. kingdom is yours. It's yours.
It's yours.
All yours. All yours.
The kingdom, the power, the glory.
Let your kingdom come,
Father, let your will be done,
on earth as in heaven,
right here in my heart.
On earth as in heaven,
right here in my heart.
Stages stand. how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Amen. Lord, you are great. And we can call out to you in this building, and you hear every word from every heart. And as people across the globe are calling out to you, singing how great is our God, you're receiving that from each person. You don't miss a beat. You don't miss a heartbeat. You don't miss a thing. So God, we have lifted up our voices to you. You are worthy. And we do pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Your will be done. God, your will be done in our lives. So, God, take this time. We've given it to you. Some are sitting at home and not feeling great, and others are across the world, and we can join together in Christ, and you see us all, and you're with us all. So, Lord, take this time and use it. We're going to open your word, your holy word, your inspired word. And God, we want to listen. We want to learn. We want to understand. We want to be encouraged and lifted up by it, and we want to be changed. Transformed. It's a process you're working in us even now. So God, thank you that you're at work, and we are here. We want to learn. We want to know you more. So God, thank you that we have the opportunity to worship you. We can come together. God, we pray for our nation. Our nation is in turmoil. God, there's crazy things happening. There's an election coming, and there's just so much conflict and tension and chaos, and God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our future leaders. God, that your word says you establish the leaders. So God, our hope and confidence is in you, no matter what happens. But we pray that you will oversee it, and that you will accomplish your will and your purpose in our country. And I pray that the people of our country will turn to you. Use us. God, use us in that process. We turn to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome, live stream. We're going to put a question of the day on here, and Shannon must have read my heart. She had no idea, but I needed this question. When you're down, what makes you feel better? That was kind of yesterday for me. I was down. I was kind of a mess. And so want you to share, what do you do to get out of that? What helps you when you're down? And maybe I'll share a little bit of my answer, but go ahead and share that amongst yourselves. And those in third grade and below can head downstairs for something special just for you. Alrighty. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Live stream, you'll have to wait a few minutes. We've just got too much talking going on. It's okay. It's okay. All right. Put a bookmark in that conversation. Pick it up when we get done. But we're going to jump into the message. When you're down, what makes you feel better? I don't know what you do, but I think we all experience being down sometimes, right? And that was definitely my experience yesterday. I'm an emotional roller coaster sometimes, and I was on the downswing part of yesterday. And for me, getting my eyes off of me, I'm a pity party guy. Like, I just am. I got to get my eyes off of me and back on Jesus. And I can say that, I can preach that, but it's hard to do sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't happen till the next day. I got to sleep through the night and I wake up like, okay, I'm mostly in a better spot now. But it's tough. It's tough. So we have been soaking in the book of Ephesians for a while. Anybody know when we started this series?
We started Ephesians in March. It's been like 5 months, and we're only in chapter 4. So I apologize for my slowness, but there's a lot in here. Are you getting tired of hearing all the ways God has blessed you, all the ways he has filled you? Are you, you're not tired of that? All the ways he is for you, all the sacrifice he has made because he loves you? Are you tired of that? We need to be reminded of those things over and over again. It changes. And the goal of that, Ephesians 1 to 3, all the blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ, the goal of that is not to get you from, oh, I didn't know that before, to, oh, now I know that. It's that most of you already knew all those things. It's just to go another layer deeper, let those truths really sink in and change you. And change how you think, how you process, how you respond to life. That's the potential of these truths. It can do that. So can you see this stuff having effect on your relationships yet? 5 months in, can you see it affecting how you handle relationships? There's a couple nods. Are you living in the fullness of what's yours in Christ? We can talk for an hour on Sunday morning and then immediately forget. James talks about that. We just go home and all of a sudden we're back where we started. We can do that. That's kind of a waste. So I hope this stuff is helping you with your relationships, because relationships are hard. And when I'm on the roller coaster, it usually has to do with relationships. Maybe you're different. I know some people it has to do with money, and some people it has to do with health. For me, it has to do with relationships most of the time. So today, we're going to continue Ephesians 4. Open up your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. If you brought your Bible today, or if you're watching online, go find a Bible. And we've already been in this chapter for a while. So far, we looked at the blessings of the first three chapters for a long time. And now here, he calls us to things. He gives us commands, instructions. Here's what I want you to do. And he's called us to total humility, to patience with people, to unity with our brothers and sisters, to forgive others as we've been forgiven, to cooperate as a body. We're called to put off our old self and be made new, to become like Christ. We've been called to commit ourselves to honesty, to deal with today's problems today, to be generous people, and that's a lot, and we're not even done. We got two more Sundays on Ephesians chapter 4, this week and one more. Today, the focus is on a commitment to use our words to build up. I think I lost. Can you back up the slide? Sorry. It's a commitment to use our words to build up, to build people up with my words and not to tear down. My words matter. So we're going to take our time in this section. All of this is really important, but this one in particular, I don't know. I guess they're all hard, but this is really hard. That my words build up consistently. This is hard. And it's hard for different reasons for different people. So this, as I studied it, it's kind of overwhelming when it uses words like always and never and any, everything, and only, that you have to do this all the time. It feels like a lot of pressure sometimes. And what we're going to talk about is impossible. We're going to talk about something that God calls us to do that's impossible. It is literally impossible to consistently fulfill everything Paul lays out for us in Ephesians chapter 4 is beyond hard. It is impossible. And you've probably tried. I've tried and I fail. And this is one chapter of the Bible. My Bible's about 1,000 pages. We're talking about one page of the Bible, 0.1% of the Bible. Our purpose as a church is to lead people to Jesus and fully follow him together, fully follow him. So this is one piece of fully following. I can't even get this one page right. 0.1%. I can't even get this page right. There's a lot here. So somehow, I want to look at this passage and this impossible command and not walk out of here discouraged. Okay, that's my challenge. That I gotta bring this to you so that you're not gonna feel beat down and discouraged that I can't do this, but somehow feel lifted up as we look at what God has told us, which is really, really hard. So I think we need some help. God, I'm asking you for help. You give us commands and they're not too big for you, but sometimes they are too big for us. So in our weakness, be our strength. come and fill us and give us what we need so we can do what you've called us to do. We know what's better. We don't always know how. And sometimes we feel like we fail more times than we succeed. So Lord, be our help. Be our strength and encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I need a volunteer to start off. Somebody who'd be willing to come up front who considers themselves at least a little bit strong. Does anybody consider yourself a little bit strong? Anybody? Anybody? We got a volunteer. Anybody want to come up? You want to take a risk? Yeah, I'm not weak. I knew this would be hard. We got any volunteers? Physically strong. Physically. You want to do it? Okay, come on up, come on up. This might go badly. I don't know. But Rick's one of our newer deacons, so Rick, thank you. Yes. Thank you. You're going to need some space for this. So stand right over here. You're going to need some space. This will be off the live stream. So the live stream, the world will not see this. But I would like to know, how long do you think you can hold a plank?
Well, I got a bum shoulder.
Bum shoulder. So plank might not be good. A minute? Or is that going to damage you? Like, is this bad if you were to actually do a plank today?
I'll let you know after.
Let me know after. Okay, don't injure yourself. But let's see how long you can do a plank. Can you show us? Don't injure yourself. You got to stop. Okay. So plank is on your elbows, on your forearms, I think, right? Right? Is that true? Yeah, there we go. So while he's holding the plank for an indefinite period of time, I'm going to start into our passage, Ephesians 4:29. Okay. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I tried to read that fast. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You okay? All right. Hold on now. Keep holding that if you can, but if you need to stop. So Paul says in this passage, let me put it up on the screen so you can see it too, whether you have your Bible or not. He says, no unwholesome talk. Only what is helpful for building others up. This is broad. This is extreme. Does anybody here have a perfect record this week, the last 7 days? You doing okay? He's doing all right. All right. He's doing good. It's on the live stream. He's still doing it. So we can go back and see. Okay. So perfect record this week. No careless words. No sarcasm that was belittling. Nothing said in frustration. Anybody have a perfect record? You might be thinking, like, I can't think of anything, but I probably failed somewhere along the way, right? I certainly don't have a perfect record. So there's a lot of things included in no unwholesome talk. Does it hurt yet? Okay. You stop. Stop now. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Thank you. All right. Now, how about if we all get in plank position for the rest of the sermon? Can we do that? You might not. We got some hoots and hollers. How about no? But wouldn't that be easier than keeping this challenge with how we use our words? What we're being called to do in Ephesians 4 is like being told to get in plank position and hold it every waking moment until we die. No unwholesome talk. None. Only what builds up. Guys, we can't. I can't. Nobody can. But guess what? Jesus did. Jesus did completely and perfectly. Every word Jesus spoke was wholesome and helpful for building others up. Even when he rebuked people, you can look, he was yelling at them. Even when he did that, he did it for their good and for ours. Every single word, plank position, 33 years. Man. Thank you, Rick. You know Jesus, but that was good. The commands in Ephesians 4 are hard. Undoubtedly, harder than holding a plank for an hour. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 4 is not calling us to reformed behavior. This is not a call to reformed behavior. It's not just telling you, hey, yo, you're a Christian now, clean up your mouth. That's not what this is. When you understand the purpose of the book of Ephesians as a whole, this whole thing is inviting you to receive a new identity. This is an invitation. This is not a calling to behave. Churches don't need to go there. That's not what it's about. Not a calling to behave. It's an invitation to become. And really, it's as if Jesus is scooting down under Rick and saying, okay, relax. I'm going to hold you up now. I got you. We can do this. Trust me. I'm going to take you someplace new, someplace better. Trust me, you're going to like this. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, he gave this invitation. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is an invitation from Jesus. Have you ever said something unwholesome and immediately regretted it? You're like, oh, I want to grab those words and bring them back, but you can't. Ever done that? I mean, some of us are more like that. I'm kind of more like that. I speak first and think later, and that gets me in trouble at times. So this is pretty familiar territory for me. I've been aware of this verse. I've memorized this verse. But I still don't live this verse all the time. So I messed up yesterday, and I'm not going to give you details of that. I'm going to tell you a different story about somebody else. Friday, Ann and Abby and I were on the road. We're traveling down to Carlisle looking for apartments. And there was a driver in front of us. Well, he was behind us, then he was in front of us. He was like weaving in and out, call the cars. And all of a sudden, somebody wouldn't let him weave in. Wouldn't let him cut in. Like, I've done that. How about you, right? Like, no. And so he couldn't get in where he wanted to get in, weave around cars. He's in a big hurry. Probably his wife's pregnant. Probably somebody's dying. I'm sure that's what's happening. He's weaving, and all of a sudden, he can't weave. So he wants to do something. He unrolls his window. He starts shaking his fist out the window like everybody's looking at this guy shaking his fist. I think he had a finger up. I'm not quite sure. But he's shaking his fist, and then he keeps his fist out the window for, like, at least a minute. He's just doing this, and then, like, he's behind a semi-truck, and he can't get past, and he's got to be yelling inside the car. He's got to be yelling. I don't know what he's saying. But then all of a sudden, he's like, he changes up his motion. He goes like this. Boo! Like, I've never seen somebody do that before. And we're just watching this guy who's stuck in front of us, and we're just kind of laughing, like, this guy's nuts. I don't want to get in his way, because I don't know what he has in the car. He might be packing, but he gave that truck the thumbs down. We're just laughing. How good are you at controlling your speech? I mean, this guy was out of control, like, who knows, but we get pushed. And we fail sometimes, right? We say things we maybe wish we didn't. So when we look at this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Jesus is not calling us to just flex and fight and resist and push until we faint from exhaustion. That's not what this is. Jesus is offering to become our power source. So we can do this. He's offering to transform our hearts so that to live by Ephesians 4 becomes who we truly are. That's what he's offering here. And I want to take that journey with Jesus. I'm not done yet. How about you? You want to take that journey? It's a better place. This one specific thing, one little verse, no unwholesome talk, only what's helpful for building others up. Why do you think it's so hard to actually keep that instruction? Why is it so hard? Well, because of the stupid people that live with you, probably, right? No. Isn't it because we're still fighting against our old self, our sinful nature? Right? There's a part of us that we try to leave behind when we follow Jesus, but it trails with us, and it's kind of like attached like a leech, and it affects us. The old me is still trailing behind, and that part of me wants to get revenge. That part of me wants fleshly satisfaction. That part of me wants to lash out in anger, to speak its mind, to bring justice according to its own biased standard. That's my old self. Jesus says, I want to help you kill that and make you new. And that's appealing. But realistically speaking, it's a process. It is a process that won't be complete till we see Jesus face to face. But as we receive Jesus and all the beautiful truth we find in Ephesians 1 through 3, our nature is transformed so that what we see in 4, 5, and 6 actually become natural to us. Wouldn't that be nice? If that's natural to us, if the new me is stronger than the old me and the new me wins more consistently. So we don't want to take this instruction as hold that plank for 10 more minutes, 1 more hour, 6 more days. You've got this. No, let's take it as a description of where Jesus is taking us. This is where he's taking us, away from the old ways of death into the new way that leads to life. Jesus, help. Show us the way. The fourth commitment essential to healthy relationships is this. I'm committed to build people up with my words. I'm committed to build people up with my words. Help me, Jesus. I can't do it by myself, but by the power of God, I can. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is a work Jesus wants to do in every single person in this room. And he's in process, and we're all at different places in that process. But by the power of God, we can do this. Jesus changes us. Amen. Does Jesus change us? I've been seeing change he's made in you, in me, in individuals. He's doing it. He changes the way we operate, right? I can be honest. That's the first one we talked about. I can be honest and put off falsehood, speak truthfully. Changes the way I process. I'm going to process my anger in a godly way. I'm going to deal with today's problems today. In my anger, I'm not going to sin, not going to give the devil a foothold. He changes the way I work. I'm not working for myself to build up myself. I'm working so I can be generous. And here we see Jesus changes the way I talk. Changes the way I use my words. No unwholesome talk. Only what's helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Unwholesome talk. Let's think about that for a second. Unwholesome talk. I want to get some feedback. What are some examples, categories? We've talked about it a little bit already, but let me hear from you. What is an example of a type of unwholesome talk? Gossip. There's one. What else? Unwholesome talk. Sex. Potty mouth. Dirty mouth. Criticism. Judgment.
Sick burns.
Say what?
Sick burns. Don't
That's been muted. Slander. Uh-huh. What about venting? Whining, complaining. There's a lot of different things, right? Deception, manipulation, right? Partial truth, misleading truth, belittling. I think we're running out of space. That's okay. There's a lot, right? There's a lot of ways we could miss this. We could mess up with this. And some of these are more obvious than others, and some of these are maybe sometimes acceptable. Complaining. Is that all? Yeah, complaining. Like, that's kind of acceptable as a whole, right? But this says no. No unwholesome talk. So look at some of those different categories. Now let's look at the other side. Wholesome talk. What are some examples of that? What's wholesome talk? Compliments. Yeah. Encouragement. Were you saying the same thing? Encouragement. Yeah. What else? Criticism that builds up. Criticism given in love. Right? Yeah. There's room for that, right? Guidance. Right. Coaching. Discussion of Scripture. Sure. Sure. Yeah. And we heard constructive criticism. I think confrontation also can be when done in love. Jesus did that, right? We have to be careful with some of these and we can get off the rails, but wholesome talk is not just you're the greatest, how amazing you are. Like, flattery does not fit under wholesome talk. Flattery actually is on the other side, right? So look at both of these columns, both of these lists, and if you were to weigh your words on a scale for a whole week, which side would be heavier? Which side would be heavier? The wholesome talk, unwholesome, maybe a lot of our words fall in some kind of neutral ground and it isn't really anything. But really the point isn't that we have 51% wholesome and 49% unwholesome, right? I mean, he said, I don't want any unwholesome talk coming out of your mouth. Like, it's supposed to be like this, right? Hard, hard stuff. We're still in process, right? Are we in process? We're in process. Jesus, help us. James chapter 3, the whole chapter is about the tongue. Uh-oh, we got to, okay. All right, good. Can we go to the next slide? James chapter 3, verse 9 says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. This should not be, and yet it is, right? And yet it is. Why? Because we still have our old self to contend with. But by the power of God and our yielding to him, the new me can gain ground over the old me. And I witnessed an example of that on the basketball court maybe a week ago or so, where the old me was there, but getting knocked down by the new me. No, you won't win. And I have a friend who, he's grown a lot recently. And he used to trash talk like a typical street ball player, like all of it. There's nothing off, out of bounds for him. But he's learning a new language. He's learning to trash talk like a follower of Jesus. So we put trash talk on the wholesome talk side? Like something, I don't know. Is there a way to trash talk as a follower of Jesus? I don't know, but this person, he moved from really negative trash talk to he's learning a new dialect of trash talk, and I could see the struggles. He's about to say something from the old, like, I better not say that, and he came up with something different. I don't know. I never thought I'd be talking about trash talk like a follower of Jesus, but I could see his struggle with the old man and the new man. It's a real battle, and you can see it sometimes, and there's a change going on inside of his heart. And that changes the process, and it takes time. And we make mistakes, and we fail, but guess what? God gives us grace, right? So we don't read this verse like, oh, man, the minute I mess up, I'm done. No, God gives us grace. Hopefully people around us give each other grace. And when you look at the side describing wholesome talk, you look at that like, man, that really doesn't describe me very well right now, just yet. Especially on my bad days. But listen, this passage is not pressure to conform. It's a description of what one day will be true for you if you're a follower of Jesus. This is going to be true for you. It will be. If you belong to God's kingdom, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've surrendered to him and he's put his seal in your heart, this is where we're headed. One day your speech will be entirely encouraging, building up, positive, all every word. Not a hurtful word will be uttered. That day is coming. Where every word you speak will breathe life into people. Not death, not pain, not shame. Can you imagine that? You imagine a day when that's true for everybody around you? It's kind of hard to fathom. It is kind of hard to fathom. But that's a little piece of what heaven's going to be like. Everybody. Everybody encouraging. Nobody slamming anybody else. Maybe there's joking around. There's probably joking around in heaven. But in a way that fits within this verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And I think back in the day, I used to see this kind of passage as this lofty ideal that's completely impossible to attain. Seriously, no unwholesome talk? Like, no. There's just no way. And that's true. Nobody's perfect. But sometimes we'll take this impossible ideal and use it as an excuse to be lazy and just be like, I'm not even going to try, and we let the devil win. I can't help it. It's who I am. It's my personality. They made me so. It's not my fault. And that's just not true. God doesn't expect us to skip the journey and suddenly become perfect. That's not how he works. He invites us to follow him. To take the journey and believe that as I follow him, this journey's going to change me. And that's how God works. Romans 8, 28 and 29 came to my mind this week as I was thinking about these things, and I'll just share that with you. This is just a super encouraging chapter. The whole chapter is awesome, but kind of right in the middle towards the end. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. We are those brothers, and we are in that process of being conformed to the likeness of his Son. This is what he's doing. This is amazing. We are not alone. He is working in us. He's cooking us. He's finishing us. He's sculpting us. And the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I realize God can and is working this change in people's lives. I can see change he's working in me. It's slower than I want it to be, but it's real. I used to be a lot more critical. I used to be a lot more pushy. I used to be a lot more sarcastic in cutting ways. I'm not done with being sarcastic yet. But I'm in process. I can see God working change in some of you. I can see it. I'm getting to know Christ followers. I know some Christ followers who actually live this way consistently. No unwholesome talk, only what's beneficial. Not perfectly, but consistently. Better than I do. People whose words are uplifting most of the time. You know anybody like that? People are just good at this. They don't seem to be rattled by things that naturally produce anger in me. They're quick to forgive. They're simply put with their words, with their actions. They look like Jesus, even under pressure. You know anybody like that? You probably do. I know people who are further along with this than I am. And this is a work God wants to do in each of us. And if we let him, he will. By the power of God, it's possible to consistently speak encouraging words, to use our words to build up, even if it's constructive criticism. You got something, you can say it in a way that builds up. We can do this. It's a process. Don't expect perfection. That's not God's expectation of you. But believe God can do this. Believe. Because there's people I know who look like this now who did not always look like this. I know people who used to be known as angry people who don't have that reputation anymore. They've been changed by God. I know people whose mouths once ran a bitter stream now flow with God's grace. And by the way, the core idea behind this verse is that our words give grace. That our words give grace to people. It says that it may benefit those who listen. The word benefit literally means give grace. And who is it that needs grace? Somebody who's failing. We can give grace with our words. Maybe they don't deserve it. That's the whole idea of grace. That's what it means. Maybe they deserve a tongue lashing. Maybe that car should have let him swerve in. Maybe. But my job isn't to tongue lash. My job is to give grace with my words. And we can be changed from people who need a whole lot of grace from everybody around us to people who give a whole lot of grace to the people around us. We can be changed, and that change happens as our hearts change, and our hearts change as we gaze at Jesus, seeing his heart toward us, not what they're doing to us, but what he's done for us and how he feels about us and how much he loves us. That's how we change. So don't look at this passage as an impossible burden. It is. But look at it as a destination Jesus is taking you to. Go with him. Let him take you there. God's intent for you is that your words will speak life into other people. And that can become part of your new identity. But the old you doesn't care about that. The old you doesn't care about that. So how do we move in this new direction? How do we make progress? How do we grow? I think first, we have to agree with God, this is where I want to go. If you don't want to go there, if you want to be able to cut people down and say what you're thinking and get your frustrations out, like there's no hope. First, you have to agree with God, I do want to go this direction. I want my words to give grace. I want to build up and not tear down. You've got to start there. But then watch for pitfalls. Know thyself, right? What triggers you to speak words that tear down? What sets you off? Who sets you off? Where do you stumble on repeat? While you're driving? Every time you get in the car, say, Lord, help me. Maybe there's people at work who gossip or complain, and you're just tempted to jump right in because things are unfair at work. Just makes sense. It's not helpful. Maybe there's a family member, a friend who just rubs you the wrong way, tempts you to react in frustration with hurtful words. Watch for your triggers. You have different triggers than I do. What are your triggers? Prepare for them. Pray for God's strength in those situations. God, help me. Because we don't have to fall in the same hole time after time. We can grow. We can overcome. One of my triggers, honesty moment. I mean, I don't lie to you at all, but real honesty moment here. One of my triggers is playing games in my parents' house. I didn't ask permission to share this, but playing games in my parents' house. Now, who would think? That's when I'm relaxed. That's when I have my guard down. And we're playing games, and I love to make people laugh. I love to, and we get some real laughter going at our house sometimes. But sometimes it's coming at the expense of somebody else. I'm making fun of, I'm jabbing, and I'm making funny jabs, and even that person is laughing. And sometimes, more often than not, it's my mom. Why do I jab my mom? And she's laughing. But it's sarcastic comments that sometimes it's hilarious, but it's not helpful. It's not really great for me to make fun of my parents' age. They can't help that. They're older than me. Guess what? They're older than me. They're my parents. Let's have a science class. I got to watch where I go with my humor. God has given me a sense of humor. I can see things, and sometimes I say things, and it's not always helpful. So I got to watch out for that. Heading over to my parents' house. Lord, help me build up and not tear down. We can be funny. I don't think God is telling me, don't be funny anymore. Don't crack jokes. They just need to fit in the parameters of Ephesians 4:29. Right? So some of those jokes, they got to go. But God does have a sense of humor. I don't have to abandon it. God wants to redeem my humor. He wants to redeem it so it fits. And he's working on that. Sometimes I'm a slow learn, and he's patient with me, and so is my mom. So thank you. What's a trigger for you? What triggers you to use your mouth in a way that's not helpful? For some people, it can be insecurity and fear. Just kind of tempts you to use words in destructive ways. People will build walls with words to protect ourselves, say harsh things to keep people at a distance. That's not what God hopes we'll do with our insecurity and our fear. He has something better to do with insecurity and fear, right? Bring it to him. Run to him. He's a much better refuge than our harsh words that keep people away. A trigger for you might be feeling misunderstood or criticized or unfairly judged. So you lash out in self-defense. And that's where a lot of marital spats are born. Feeling misunderstood, misjudged, criticized. Man, I fall into this one for sure. Maybe feeling disrespected, feeling unloved can trigger the abuse of my tongue. I'm going to lash out. It's important we remember right here that this calling, this instruction, Ephesians 4:29, it's not conditional based on whether someone else near us fulfills it too. This is a calling based on what Jesus has done, not what other people have done. And the truth is, our transformation becomes even more evident when we live this way precisely when other people are not. Right? That's when divine power is most obvious in us. We love people that love us. That's natural. That's normal. That's easy. It's when we're not feeling loved, when we're not feeling respected, when we're not feeling understood. That's when we're tempted. So let's remember verse 30. We didn't talk about this yet. This is important. He says, first, don't use unwholesome talk, only what's beneficial. And right after that, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Just as he has done with all the other commitments so far, after he gives the commitment, he gives the reason, a significant reason. So this is the reason why we want to live this way. Think about this. How is it that mere mortals can grieve God? How can we grieve God? Have you ever thought about that? The God of the universe spoke everything into existence, and I can grieve him. I can affect his emotions. To grieve means to cause sorrow. And one reason we can have the power to grieve God is because he's chosen to love us. That's a risk. So if we choose to love something else more, that will grieve him. If we don't reciprocate, that grieves him. We turn away from him, that grieves him. But there's another reason we have the power to grieve God, and that is because he is permanently indwelling us. God's Spirit is in us, which means whatever I choose to do that's contrary to his nature, I'm actually dragging him into with me. Have you thought about that? Like when I choose the wrong thing, when I use my words in a hurtful way, I'm dragging God into that. That's not to say that God himself is sinning when we sin, but he is dragged into it. He is participating in a way without himself personally sinning. But I would suggest that some of the things we do make God feel terribly awkward. Could that be true? If he's in us? Have you ever been in a situation you couldn't get out of that made you feel really awkward and really uncomfortable? You just want to escape the situation? One scenario I remembered, this is years ago, I was at Peace Rock swimming hole in Hamburg that's been closed down for a long time, but I was at the swimming hole one afternoon, and I hiked back to a rope swing, which is pretty cool, and there was just a couple people there, and it's a secluded spot, and there were a few people, which is fine, and they'd been drinking, which was normal. That's what they do at swimming holes. But after a few minutes, this young couple just started arguing, and then they started fighting. Like, they started literally fighting. And she swung at him, punched him in the face. And I'm just standing there watching as she's pounding him. And thankfully, he did not swing back. He did not punch back. Instead, he yelled at her, "Hit me again." And she did. Slugged him in the face again. "Hit me again." Bam. And he's not backing up. He's not flinching. She just pounded him in the face. And I'm watching this traumatic event go down. I've never seen anything like it. It was revolting to watch. My suspicion is they were both on something stronger than alcohol. Probably. It was just a disturbing scene. And you could say it grieved me. I don't like to see that kind of thing. You watch it on TV all the time, right? And we get numb to it. You see it in real life, it's different. I didn't want to be there, but I was there and it was happening and I couldn't escape. I was dragged into the trauma just by witnessing it. And I would suggest we put God in a situation a lot like that. Anytime we unleash our anger on somebody, whether it's our fist or our tongue, we drag God into it anytime we use unwholesome talk. He doesn't want to do that. He feels grief as he participates in our unholy actions as one who can't escape because he cannot and will not leave us. He's that committed to us. I'm going to stay with you no matter what you do. And when I think about it that way, I don't want to do that to God. I don't. We have a choice. We can bring grief to God, or we can bring him delight. I'd rather bring him delight, and I think you would too. But sometimes I still grieve him. And I know I won't grieve him never, but I do want to grieve him less. And you're far more likely to please God and less likely to grieve him, not by resolving yourself to hold that plank for a few more minutes, but by dropping yourself onto Jesus' back and letting him be your strength. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you strength. I will give you rest." So let Jesus change the way you talk. Ask him to. Trust him to. Because it is impossible to do this on our own. But with the power of Jesus in us, we can make progress. We can move down the road in this journey, but we absolutely need his help. Amen? We need his help. I need help. There's two sides, unwholesome, wholesome. Maybe there's one in the unwholesome side. You're like, "You know what? That's me. And I want to be over here." So think about those two columns. We need Jesus' help to move from one to the other. Lord, would you please work this change in us? Please do this work. Help us trust you in it. That as your nature takes over our old nature, that our tongues would reflect your new nature. And we know one day this work you've begun in us will be complete, but we're not there yet. So give us courage to keep following you. Give us hope that one day we will arrive, that our words will be encouraging and edifying all the time. This is the place you're taking us. God, give us strength. Give us hope. Give us all the help that we need. You are far stronger than we are. So God, our dependence on you is on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have four next steps for you to think about before we go into to sing together. Just think about these, and maybe there's one of these that you're going to want to do. Identify one area where I'm often tempted to let unwholesome talk come out of my mouth. Commit that to God and ask for his help to transform me from the inside out. Ask for his help. Maybe you want to listen to that teaching series I mentioned last week. Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, Evangelizing Those Who Wrong You. That's about soaking in what God has done for you, makes a change in you that helps you in your responses to other people. Maybe it's time to read through the book of Ephesians again, get the big picture, and ask God to take you another layer deeper in his love for you. And there's a song that came to my mind. You'll hear it in a couple minutes. But listen to this song, No Doubt About It, by We the Kingdom. So no doubt about it, I'm on my way home. I'm not yet where I'm going, but I'm a long way from where I was. Amen? Take a minute to think about, God, what's my next step? We're going to sing this song called Abide. And if you've been with us recently, you've probably learned this with us recently. But it's just a cry out to God. We need his help. We need his help. And his help is here. His help is here. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me. Remain in me. Remain attached to me and I attached to you. And that's how we bear fruit. That's how it works. Let's sing together. You can stay in your seat if you'd like.
For my way, keeper,
to abide.
Draw us close, and especially in the unwholesome talk, and it's a daily, minute-by-minute thing that we have to work through. So praising God that we have him to abide in. Coming up this week, it's a very Phil and Morgan themed week, so in the announcements, that is, and we miss you guys today. So Phil and Morgan are moving. They're moving from Kutztown to Fleetwood, and they need our help on Saturday the 20th, this coming Saturday, at 9:30 is the start time. So if you're able, and physically and just with your time, able to help out, you can talk to Rick Hadley for some more specific details, like where to start and where we're going and all that jazz. So if you're able, catch up with him, send him a text or email or talk to him now. And hopefully we can get that job done quickly for them. We are semi-professional movers, so we should be pretty good. And then also a quick note that Phil and Morgan are getting married in August. So the ladies are going to have a bridal shower for Morgan on Sunday the 28th from 1 to 4 at the Morrow's home. There was an email that went out this week. If you didn't get it, can you talk to me or Flo? She's not here today, but catch up with one of us. There is a sign-up genius for some potluck items and some gift ideas for them if you want to chat with one of us about that, if you didn't get it. And then lastly, just a reminder that Kutztown Day is coming up on the 4th. Stay tuned for more details. There'll be a sign-up sheet probably next week, And Jake Hench heads that up. If you have any questions about helping out, you can talk with him. Otherwise, there are snacks downstairs. End of note, Bethel is meeting again at 11. So if you see people coming in, that is why. Their start time is 11. So, you know, possibly keep that in mind if you want to head downstairs for fellowship. We have some time, but just so you're aware of that. Have a good week.